Jan Stevenson of Australia is the American Women's Open Golf Champion.
You come from a land down under, a women glow and men thunder. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover.
G'day, this is Jan Stevenson. This is an intro to my first podcast. I'm pretty excited, and I'm here with my mate, Chris.
Hello, Big Three Nation.
So we're going to talk about a lot of things, a lot of golf, a lot about sports, obviously about college football. I'm a sports fan, so that should be easy. And Chris, he knows a lot too. So between the two of us, we should be able to handle it. The show's going to be called Jan Shout. And what that means in Australia is that it's your turn to buy one. It's your turn to buy a round, but also it's a way for me to shout out and talk about what I think. And this is one of the things I think is going to be really important for me, is that I want to be able to be opinionated. Everybody always talks about that, and I'm so tired of having to be politically correct. I mean, I'm not going to be outrageous, but I just want to talk about my opinion and what I think. And of course, Chris and I can talk about it, probably argue, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, so everybody on Big Three Nation, we appreciate that you guys are listening. Today is going to be the only day that you're going to hear it on the Big Three Network. Starting next Wednesday, every Wednesday, you can go to our own channel and listen to Jan Shout on her own channel. So thank you guys at Big Three for having us on. So what can people expect then, I guess?
Well, you know, I mean, I really do want to talk about things that are, I don't know whether to say controversial, but things that, you know, we have opinions on. I'm tired of being Miss Perfect, and everybody else has to be worry about it. And it's a time when we actually can say what we think and then have everybody, you know, comment on that and talk about it, because I'm so tired of this. You know, in the old days, you really could kind of say what you wanted without everybody jumping all over you. And it's really become sad that I'm so petrified to even talk to the media anymore. So at least I've got my own now. I can do whatever I want with this show.
Are you going to do any interviews or anything?
I'd love to do interviews. I mean, there's a lot of young girls that I think are going to be great for the sport, and a lot of other athletes. You know, it's going to be fun. I've played with so many great athletes. I mean, I'm really fortunate to have met and played with so many. So hopefully I'm going to have them on, talk about how much they love golf and why, even though they're in other sports. I think that's going to be really important, and how that, and I've always tried to do especially when I play with the quarterbacks or the kickers and the hockey players, how good they are at golf and why. So technically I think that part's important, whereas it's so hard for the big football players and even the great hitters in baseball, how much trouble they have, because it's kind of an opposite move in golf, the way they hit the ball.
So, have you ever been to Ben Hill Griffith Stadium in Gainesville? I know you're a Gator fan, and anybody that's listened to Big Three knows you're a Gator fan. You ever been there?
No, I haven't, you know, which is pretty amazing because I am a Gator fan. I mean, I don't know how many golf clothes I have in blue and orange. And then, you know, I just showed you all the new clothes I just got. And it's like, oh, funny, they're all blue and orange.
We're going to have to change something in that. So, but I'm assuming you've lived all over the country. So I'm assuming you've been to a game or two?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because I am a big athlete. And I always used to wonder why everybody was so crazy about college football. And until I went to a few games, because I've been to great sports all over the country my whole career. You know, I got to throw the baseball out at, you know, at you think of the Yankees, and every time we played a golf tournament, they'd ask me to throw the ball out, and I'd be like, oh, really? Again? I've got to do it again. I got early tee time. And now I think back, I just got to throw one out at the Rays game, and I was so excited and honored. And it's like, wow, I think about over my career how many times I've thrown the ball out. And then, I mean, I actually threw the ball out in a baseball game, the last game that Nolan Ryan played for Dallas. So, and he gave me the ball, and I actually gave it away. It's how stupid I was. He signed it and gave it away. It was his last one. I'm like, no. But anyway, so as far as college, it's been, you know, I actually went to a game with Iowa State, and I was in Iowa. They were the grocery store there was taking my rum, and so I was pretty psyched, and I went to the game. And, you know, I'm used to winning. And so the tailgating was absolutely crazy. And it was, of course, it was the big game. So it was the Hawkeyes against Iowa State. So it's Iowa against Iowa State. A huge, huge game.
That's a big game.
Big game. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, the Gators against the Seminoles or something. And I realized that but we had to go like 5 hours before the game. And I was like, I've never been to a game 5 hours before. And you tailgate for so long. And it was, and though I was so excited to watch the game, and it was a pretty new coach, and I was criticizing all the plays, which all the people around me were not happy about that because they were all Iowa State. And I knew to wear the right colors. I was wearing like a red and gold. I knew to do that right. So anyway, we lost the game. They lost the game at the last minute, and I was very upset because I thought it was a very bad call on the coach. So I was criticizing the new coach. And all the way down, I was so depressed that we lost. And everybody didn't seem that bad. I was like, why is not everybody like down? You know, when you win a game, when you lose a game at the box or something, you know, everybody's depressed. And I was like, wow. And then they went, I said, are we not going to our car now? And they went, oh, no, we're going to tailgate some more. And I'm like, why are you celebrating when we just lost? And that was the part about college that amazed me, is that, you know, there's so much for their team and so much for the college, but yes, they're disappointed, but not like I was. I was devastated because I absolutely hate to lose.
So we went to the Big Three's tailgate, and we went there for Miami and Florida, which was great. And all the guys from the Big Three said you were going to do a cake stand there, which you did not. Did you do a cake stand at the Iowa State game?
I should have.
Probably needed. It probably would have been better. So, since Florida, you know, you're a Florida fan, we're on the Big Three Network. Do you have any stories about maybe a Florida old ball coach you could tell us?
Well, you know, it was kind of funny. When I just really was taking off, was just getting to become like a superstar, I was invited to open one of the big golf courses in the Carolinas, and they said it's going to be one PGA or LPGA superstar and a celebrity and then two big sponsors. I'm like, oh, that'd be great. And they paid us money, and I was all excited. And Michael Jordan was going to be there because he was from the Carolinas, and it was a great golf course. And, you know, you saw all these superstars, and I was so excited. I couldn't wait to see who I was going to get as my celebrity. And I was a pretty big celebrity, so I knew I was going to get a superstar. So I'm standing there, and I'm warming up, and I went, so who's my celebrity? And they said, Steve Spurrier. And I said, who is he? And they went, he's a coach. I went, I only got a coach? I was so upset. So when I met Steve, he goes, hey, I've been a big fan. And I really felt bad because I didn't want to say, well, I'm a big fan too, because I had no idea who he was. But then actually he found out later that I didn't know who he was. And so about 3 years later, we were playing in a big event. And now I knew, of course, who he was. So he came up and he said, hey, my name's Steve Spurrier. I'm just a coach.
The old ball coach.
Yeah.
So people in there, they've heard a bunch of different stories about you. They know your past. You're LPGA Hall of Famer this June, which is fantastic. But I don't know if anybody or everybody has heard about how you started as a playing the game of golf and how you got to the United States.
Well, my father was a big cricket player. He was a really good athlete. He played in the wintertime. He would play football, so he would play rugby union back then, and then in Australia. And then he was a very, very big superstar cricket player. And they didn't play for very much money. He was kind of a semi-pro, so there wasn't much money back then. And but he wanted me to be an athlete. So actually, he was playing cricket the day I was born. Was we have a story that there was, because obviously there was, my mother went into labor and my father was actually batting at the time. And to be 100 in cricket is huge. To be 100 not out, 99 not out is huge. To get to a century is like a big, it's like shooting in the, like breaking, almost like breaking 60. It's like shooting 62 or 63 in a tournament. And my mother sent a note to them, and my father was still batting, and the captain said, well, left, sent my note back to the hospital and said that her husband was 99 not out, which meant there's no way he could leave, because to get to a century is huge and it's big news in Australia and on TV and everything. But and that was what was so typical, is that when she went into labor, the doctor came in and said he's 99 not out, so we're going ahead without him. Because everybody knew that was a big deal. So obviously I grew up in a big athletic family, and my mother was a superstar athlete and a dancer as well. So my father wanted me to be an athlete. So at 7, I was training really hard at swimming. And the problem with that was that I was winning everything doing all the swimming until it got to be about June, and I still had to train, and that's the middle of winter in Australia, starting to be cold. And I remember jumping in the water before school, and it shocked me. It was so brutally cold, and I went, I am not going to be a swimmer because I'm not going to go through the winter's training. So I jumped out of the pool and said, okay, there's got to be something else. I'm not going to get back in that cold water. So then he says, well, let's be a tennis player. There's famous tennis players. You got Margaret Court, so, you know, a really up-and-comer that's a superstar, and you got John Newcombe and all these famous Australians, Rod Laver. So he said, I think you should be a tennis player. I'm like, okay. So he started me training at tennis. But then the problem was they would take – my father would drop me at the tennis court, and my parents would go play this new game called golf. And I'm like, no, wait a minute. They're making me play tennis, but golf must be way more fun. So I would sneak off and watch golf. And when I was supposed to be, then after they would take me to tennis in the mornings and then go to golf in the afternoon. And I was supposed to take care of my brother, and we would go to the movies. But I'm like, I want to go watch this game golf. So as soon as they dropped us at the movie theater, I'd sneak up to the golf course with my brother. And he would catch the snakes because there were so many snakes in the bush. And we would sell the venom for lots of money because they were deadly. And I would keep all the golf balls and then sell them. And so one day somebody said to my dad, you know, Jan's got a really good golf swing. And he went, you mean tennis swing? And they went, no, golf swing. She's actually swinging and watching and selling golf balls. And so he caught me one day when we weren't supposed to. We thought they were playing golf, and he caught me when we ran around the corner. And he said, okay, this is it. You have no, you cannot change sports. You've done tennis and you've done swimming. If you're going to stick with golf, I said, I want to play golf. You must love it. I want to play golf. So I said, okay. He said, that's it. You cannot change sports again. That's how I started playing.
You never want to be a surfer?
Well, that started later on. When I was about 13, I was 12, and I started to go to the beach in the afternoons and on the Sundays because the kids were not allowed to play in the golf. And so I'd play in the junior golf in the mornings, then play in the afternoon Saturday. And Sundays I'd just go to the beach with my brother. And then I would borrow a surfboard and go out. And I was a really good surfer because I was obviously a great swimmer. So I could go out and I could beat the boys, and it was nice to be among all these boys. And so I decided I want to be a professional surfboard rider. So I went to my dad and said, I'm going to change sports one more time. And this time my father didn't forbid it. He said, if you get your handicap down to single figures by the time you turn 13, because my birthday's 3 days before Christmas, I will buy you a surfboard. And I went, okay. So I worked really hard on my game all winter long in Australia, which is, you know, June through September, and got really good and started winning golf tournaments. And so on my 13th birthday, I broke my handicap down to 9. And my father said, well, I guess that was the deal. I would buy you a surfboard in 3 days from now so you can pick a surfboard out. And I went, no, 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 I need a sandwich. I can't get out of the bunkers. And so my parents apparently had broke open a bottle of champagne that night because it stopped me from being a surfer.
So your entire life then, you were groomed to be a professional athlete. It wasn't go have fun. It was, if you're going to do this, it's going to be a professional. That's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure, but, you know, sometimes people kept criticizing my parents because they would make me practice. And sometimes, when it was cold or rainy, like, you know, the story about when I was, you know, when I was about 14 or 15, and it was miserably cold, and my father he actually took night shifts so he could take me to practice. I mean, and I was probably one of the first people that ever worked out, but him being an athlete, it was a big deal. So it was something that was always going to happen, but I still tell people all the time, you know, your kids, they go, oh, I just want my kids to be happy. And then I go, why would you, especially athletes, which it really amazes me. I know so many professional athletes that say, why is it, I don't want my kids to have to work as hard as I did work. And I'm like, why? Look what a great successful career you've had. Oh, I just want them to be happy. And then, you know what, there were times when I would have quit if it hadn't been for my parents making me do it. I mean, people even criticize them because they would make me practice. But now, I mean, I just thank them so much for that. And it's you really have to almost guide your kids, because, you know, kids, you don't know, you know, I mean, all you're really thinking about is right now and here and there. And it's not, it is so important that you can push them, you know, push them just that little bit. The players that do it or the people that do it, I mean, you know, I just thank my lucky stars that they just pushed me.
It kind of like, I wasn't going to get into this because this is our first podcast, but So this week, everybody knows that the new rule came down from California, the pay for play, which I think is a terrible name for it. But pay for play is that kids can get paid for their likeness in college. What are your thoughts about kids being able to make a couple of bucks on, you know, what they do on the field, whether it's a football or whether it's golf, whether it's basketball, whether it's tennis, baseball, whatever the case is? Now they're going to be open. I think the actual year is 2023 when it goes into effect in California, that athletes are going to be able to be paid for their likeness.
Well, it's almost legitimizing it, because let's face it, I mean, there's been a lot of money under the table anyway.
It's true. Very true.
But now it makes it fair, because if you want to be in that business, I mean, you think about it, someone that's a golfer, you know, and they're trying to make it, and now they could go work in a pro shop, or they could, you know, get paid to do that stuff and not be considered a professional. I mean, that's huge, because how else are you going to make it? I mean, it's great to have schoolwork, but if your goal is to be a professional athlete and you know that's it, I mean, you work your ass off to be there. So you deserve to be paid, and you deserve it. And so I think it's fair, because the colleges make a lot of money from it. Why shouldn't the actual players? And what happens if they get hurt? At least they would have made some money.
You know, and one of the arguments that I've heard a lot is, well, the starting quarterback is going to get paid by Chevy or the local, you know, dealership to make all the money. And, you know, the big colleges are going to be able to pay more money. But the big colleges aren't going to pay. It's not the college that'll pay. It's the surrounding community that will. So, yes, the quarterback is probably going to make some money. But at this point, if that goes through, then the top golfer is going to be able to get paid for lessons. So yeah. Would that have benefited you coming up to be able to teach other people as you were learning, or and get paid to do it, or no?
Well, it was a little different situation, because I didn't go to school for sports. In Australia, you go only for academics. But if I'd have been in this country, totally different situation. This would probably be the only country that it would work in, because most of the others, you don't. That doesn't happen. But here, it's a huge factor, and it's going to help a lot of people. Even if they don't make it on tour, it's going to help. And you know what? It's good for branding for the whole community to get behind. They do it with professional sports, and it's going to be a lot cheaper for them too.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, if you're a 17, 18-year-old kid, 19-year-old kid getting into college, who knows if you're going to make it to the PGA or LPGA, NFL, any of these. But if your earning potential is that time that you're in college, why not earn the money while you're there?
Absolutely. I mean, it's going to help them stay in college, you know, too, because they can make some money.
Absolutely, absolutely. Then you can take your girlfriend on a date if you're the head quarterback and you're not allowed to make money right now. So, so this is going to be the first podcast for Jan and Jan Shout, and we're so happy that you guys could check out the podcast. We will be on a channel, our own channel, starting next Wednesday and every Wednesday from now on. Do you want to say anything to the podcast sphere?
Well, I do want to thank the Big Three. They've been awesome. They're fun to be around, and, you know, they're going to help us with this. So this is great. So hopefully everybody's going to enjoy it, and we're going to have a lot of fun.
Okay. So we're going to say hello and thank you very much to TJ. We're going to say thank you very much to Kev. We're going to say thank you very much to Silk. But can you give a fuck Berg real quick?
Huh?
Okay. Can we give a fuck Berg?
A fuck bird?
Yeah, a fuck Berg.
What? A fuck Berg?
Fuck Berg. Absolutely. Josh Newberg.
Fuck Berg.
Fuck Berg. Very fuck good. Berg. Very good. Tune in next week. I'm going to say. Thank you.
I'll see you next week. Cheers.
This and every episode of Jan Shout is brought to you by Jan Stevenson Infused Rum. Don't be fooled by artificially flavored rum. Jan Stevenson Rum is made with the purest of water, real fruit, and truly is grain to glass.
If your flavored rum is clear, it is not real. Fear the clear. You can purchase Jan Stevenson infused rum at many of your local Total Wine locations throughout Florida. Go get you some.